This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Boker Tov, Kathy. I think we're going to start this morning with Hanun, because we've been trying to speak about this for a few days, and so we'll have a quick snippet on Hanun, which is the new town,
yes,
which has been announced for establishment near the Gaza Strip by the Prime Minister. This was an announcement that was made on Sunday morning at the start of the cabinet meeting, the weekly cabinet meeting. And Hanun will be set up about 3.5 kilometers from the Gaza Strip, quite near to Kibbutz Sa'ad. And this is due to be a population of about 500 families, which will be mixed religious and secular, living there. And the Prime Minister said that this is along the lines of the plans to build up the land of Israel. That's the way that he sees things. And so apparently this town will be constructed. Hanun, of course, meaning the merciful, comes from the Torah. Although there has been a statement which says that the name may well be changed along the way. And the thought that went through my mind is really all about employment opportunities, because I know that there is an attempt to try to attract people away from what has become a very, very overpopulated central part of Israel. When we think about the area, let's say from Rishon LeZion in the south to even as far as Netanya in the north, it's become very, very densely populated. And for good reason, because that's where the employment opportunities are. That's where opportunities for childcare and so on, those things are easily found in the central part of the country. And as a result of which, it's become very, very densely populated and crowded and lots of traffic issues. And there is a lot of attempt to try and attract people to live in what's commonly termed the periphery, outside of the central part of Israel. But the problem, of course, is that the transportation to the central part backwards and forwards is not good enough to allow people to commute to work easily if they live further away from the central part of the country. And there aren't that many employment opportunities. So while this is a very favorable step for the government to be taking to build up a new town, the question really is all about what will employ the people who live there. How has that been thought about? And it's a very difficult question to answer, because even in a city like Be'er Sheva, which has really developed substantially over the past few years, there are still limited employment opportunities. There's still limited things for people to do who live in that area. And so if we are to be successful in building up the periphery of Israel, we need to give much greater thought to how we're going to employ people who live there, how we're going to take care of the children's needs. These are things which, of course, need to be associated with building up a town like Hanun.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the story, I started thinking about, you know, as a diaspora Jew, my question is, who's going to live there? You know, and what are the incentives? Because being that close to the periphery of Gaza, when those rockets come flying or go flying into Israel from Gaza, a lot of those periphery and those communities, they don't have a lot of warning time to get into bomb shelters. We've seen it in Sderot. So who's going to live there, Anthony?
So the Gaza envelope area clearly is under threat from missile fire that comes from Gaza. And along with having employment opportunities and childcare and all that kind of stuff, will need to be a significant security setup with lots of protection for people who live there. You would be absolutely astonished at how many people would be willing to go and live in a place like that in spite of its proximity to the Gaza Strip. Israelis are incredibly resilient people, and they would be willing, in the interests of hopefully a slightly better life for their children, because of course, along with employment opportunities and opportunities for children in the central, very, very densely populated area, comes a price, and the price is that there isn't much open space, right, and that people live on top of each other, that the cost of accommodation is very, very high, as a result of which people are generally drawn towards smaller places which they can afford. And if you go and live in a place like Hanun, the chances are that you might have a garden, that you might have a slightly bigger home, that there might be some breathing space for your children to be able to run around and be a little bit more independent rather than live in a city-type environment. And there are people who are willing to do that, to go even towards the Gaza Strip. And people are very resilient and very, very ideologically determined to live in as much of the land of Israel as they could possibly live in, to be taking up on residence in all corners of the land of Israel.
Yeah. Anthony, did you feel either of the two earthquakes in Israel overnight?
Well, not only two, there have been quite a number of earthquakes overnight. One that was measured in Netanya, apparently at 4.8 on the Richter scale. There have been a number of earthquakes even in the early hours of this morning in the threes and fours. So nothing major, but three or four on the Richter scale is already very much substantial and can be felt,
yeah.
And is a very significant warning to people in Israel about what is coming next. A number of follow-up quakes also felt in Turkey this morning, one after the other. So things have definitely not settled down as far as the seismic activity goes in this part of the world. Already almost 8,000 people having reported to have been killed from Turkey and from Syria. Israel, the search and rescue team, are already on the ground from Israel, from the IDF, doing their job as they know how to do, already rescuing people from under the rubble, really doing some fantastic work. And now 230 medical professionals are standing by, ready to leave today to go to Turkey to set up an emergency field hospital. So that is Israel's next step in helping this particular effort in Turkey. And of course, the offer remains open to Syria. We'll talk about that separately. But what's happening in Turkey, it's really all centered around the southern part of Turkey, not far from Adana, where this devastation, literally devastation, has taken place with buildings collapsing and people being caught under the rubble. Reports of a Jewish community, a small Jewish community in that area, also having been caught up, the head of the Jewish community believed to have been killed by the falling rubble. But Sifrei Torah, the Torah scrolls, were rescued from the shul in that little town, even though there is so much devastation going on around. So Israel really trying to do whatever it can in order to help the effort. A very fascinating video was released and has gone viral online, showing the Israeli aid plane in Adana at the airport. And then alongside it, if you just swing around as the cameraman did, to show that right next to the Israeli aid plane is an Iranian military aircraft parked next to each other at Adana Airport. A very, very fascinating picture indeed. But certainly things have not settled down. And let's not forget that we've had a storm, the storm Barbara, that has come through Israel, which has left lots and lots of rain and snow, heavy snowfall in the north. And this has also been experienced in Turkey, where you see a lot of the damage covered by snow. So the weather there also not very conducive at all to assisting with aid effort. And yet Israel will be very determined to help as much as possible. The interesting part about the aid to Syria story is that apparently there was a formal request received via Russia from Syria asking Israel for aid. And we are, you know, the Prime Minister immediately responded saying that Israel would be happy to assist Syria. It's not clear whether actually there is aid being provided to Syria at this time, but we understand that that request did come through Russia, because, of course, the Syrians wouldn't wish to be directly in contact with Israel, given the current lack of diplomatic relations. So that is the current and the latest situation on the earthquake. We've still not seen anything near to the end of this yet. Expectations are that there will be ultimately tens of thousands of people who have been killed as a result of these earthquakes.
Yeah. You know, I just keep thinking back to our conversation yesterday about Syria. You know, while the epicenter of both earthquakes was in Turkey, Syria hadn't yet recovered from its war, and you know, which was completely devastating, and they probably have more need for the assistance and international assistance, you know, or at least equal to what's happening in Turkey.
I think what we think about Syria is that, first of all, of course, the earthquake wouldn't have been felt quite as strongly in Syria. But the infrastructure in Syria is much lower quality. And also the news coming from Syria is not quite as sophisticated as from Turkey. So whatever we're hearing is via third party. It's not coming directly from the horse's mouth. And my guess is that if we actually had some direct media intervention and we got some direct information from Syria, that the situation would be far worse than we think it is at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Can we talk about Mal Khalifa in the last 3 minutes?
We will do. We'll talk about it just very briefly. People might remember that Mal Khalifa is an Israeli citizen who has been charged in Australia with offences relating to child sex abuse, and that's really the charge that she stands on today. And the trial has actually begun in Australia. Finally, these are acts that go back to the period between 2003 and 2007. So we're really going back a long, long way. And she faces 29 charges of child sex abuse. This is a lady who was the principal of a Jewish school in Melbourne, and also has been accused of carrying out this child sex abuse, not only at the school itself, but at her home and also at camps that were run by the school in rural towns near to Melbourne. Finally, the trial is beginning today after what has been a protracted period, trying to exercise the deportation law that that exists between Israel and Australia. There is a treaty which allows for deportation, extradition, a treaty, and this apparently a previous Israeli government had been accused of trying to somehow delay the extradition of Mal Khalifa to Australia. Ultimately, she has been extradited and she will stand trial starting this morning. And we understand that the trial is likely to take something like 6 weeks. There has been a gag order issued by the judge on the case on some of the information that will come out in this particular case. It's going to be unnerving to listen to. I have little doubt about that, having heard some of the stories already, and lots of information that we probably would prefer not to hear, and certainly in the things that should not have gone on. But of course, we will be watching this case quite carefully.
Yeah. We will continue this conversation tomorrow morning. Anthony Reich, thank you so much, and I wish you a wonderful and a safe day.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.